This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Is there any doubt that Lincoln Riley is going to have every dollar imaginable thrown his way next offseason? Whenever coaches are...
His quarterback doesn't think that.
Oh, really? All right, so Jalen Hurts went out there and was dominant against the University of Houston, which, I mean...
Don't worry about that part.
Even still, it is the way you want to make an impact and say, hey, I want that Heisman Trophy, is on game one, you show up. And he had a huge game. Six touchdowns total. Three on the ground, three in the air, and the offense looked pretty good. I mean, you could see the creativity that Lincoln Riley has and the way he creates space, the way he utilizes not only one of the best offensive lines, but because they brought back they were missing four offensive linemen. They have a great center, but they brought in four new offensive linemen, and they still looked awesome.
Yeah.
And they used that offensive line, big and heavy and fast and athletic and strong, to go out there and move guys around and force people to go one way whenever they're going to go another way with something. Well, Jalen Hurts, after seeing his team with one game, wasn't really happy afterwards.
We played good football at times, but it was not consistent enough.
You seem super disappointed right now, and yet you set a new school record for yards in a debut, and you're also the first Oklahoma quarterback in school history to throw for over 300 and rush for over 150. So can you be somewhat happy?
I got to go talk to my boys. We got to get right. We got to get better. We got to take more steps.
When you look back on this game tonight, what do you think is the thing that you've got to clean up most?
Sloppy play, really trusting it, and just executing better. We got to execute better.
All right. What does the future hold for you guys? What kind of feeling do you get from this debut?
Hopefully, we can learn from our mistakes from this game and take that next step next week.
Okay. Can I just get one smile? You played well tonight, Jalen.
You got to do better, man. I'm telling you.
All right. You gave me a baby one. I'll take it. Thank you.
All no right. Smiles at all.
So let's just point out real quick, this would be the top story on every sports thing in the world if that was a male person who had asked a female athlete to smile a little bit.
Really?
It would have been like, sexism! You would never ask a male athlete to do that. But yet, I bet that's the first time you've heard anybody make reference to that. So I just wanted to throw that out there as an aside. But also, Jalen Hurts thinks that his team sucks, and if they don't get better, they're going to get hammered by any good team that they face, which I kind of like that mindset. I do.
You know what? But is that the mindset that your first-year quarterback that's stepping into everything and he's trying to prove himself to be a leader? I understand that. But is that what you need him to say directly to a reporter right after a win? Don't you want to have that in the locker room first just to make sure everybody's okay with that?
This is a dude who, Colby, is on one mission, and that is to defeat Alabama.
Yeah. Okay, right.
Win a Heisman and defeat Alabama. Those things, win all the things. That's his one mission.
But he would trade winning a Heisman to beat Bama in the championship,
I absolutely agree.
Okay.
And because he had, you know, NFL stardom in his sights, and then Tua comes in and takes his job, and it's embarrassing. You know, that's an embarrassment for you to be the number one guy, and then somebody else comes in and takes your job away from you, and then your coach is like, well, I mean, what am I going to do? And then you have to sit there and kind of watch it. So he's been embarrassed enough, and he said, let me go to a coach that can build, that has an offense that I can work with. And he found Lincoln Riley. And he's like, hey, you want to beat Bama? I want to beat Bama. Let's go out there and do this together. So I think what he also understands is the mindset of Bama, the mindset of Nick Saban, and the fact that Nick Saban does not accept anything less for his teams. And that's why they are championship teams. They can go out there and party and have a good time right now if they want to. But if we want to go do what I want to accomplish, we have to be a much better team. And I think it's a perfect way for him to set the standard in that locker room to start out.
Okay, yeah, set the standard in the locker room, not in a live mic right after your first win.
I don't think anybody on that team is going to sit there and be like, dude. Wait, because he didn't call anybody specific out.
You don't think
he said we.
You don't think all the defense is just sitting there going, yeah, we allowed like 31 points from Houston.
Yeah, they were terrible.
Yeah, you don't think that all of them are going there? Well, he's obviously talking about us because he had 40 what points on the board, right?
That's OU's biggest weakness. I mean, they do need to be better there. OU's always bad at defense.
Yes, so go ahead and tell them in the locker room. Again, you can't tell me that not at least half of the defense is not butthurt about
it. Well, you know what? If they're going to be butthurt about it, then they don't need to be on my team. Because at the end of the day, we're here to be better. We're here to win and kick ass. And if you're going to get upset because I said, hey, y'all need to be better, then you need to go somewhere else, not in here in this locker room.
No, the only reason I'd be upset is that you went out and told everybody else after a win. Yeah,
well, get used to it because we ain't winning anything because of you guys. Like, that's what I would be thinking. I was like, we're winning because of me, not because of you. And by the way, did you see the Alabama response to this? So their stud receiver, Jerry Judy, said...
Judge Judy?
He might be the number one pick in the draft. He said, I'm happy for him. He did a great job passing and running. 6 touchdowns, that's unbelievable. But that's what Jalen do. So I'm very happy for him. Then we go to Nick Saban. The first part of this quote is incredible because it makes it seem like he's just going to shut the whole thing down, right? If I told you this first part was his entire quote, would you believe it? I asked him, what did you think about it? And he goes, I didn't see the game last night. We work on Sunday nights. If I told you that was the entirety of his quote, you would totally believe that, right?
Absolutely.
All right. It was not, and it got significantly better from there, where it does kind of sound like he oddly supports him. But I hear he played extremely well and did an outstanding job, and that doesn't surprise me in the least bit. And we're really happy for him, not only in the way he handled himself throughout this entire process, but now that he's having success as well. So it does kind of sound like he doesn't wish all of the failure on him, but I just really wish that was the first part of it. Like, that was his whole quote. He goes, we work Sunday nights. I didn't see it. And you're like, wow.
Okay. I do feel like, though, that... You know, he'll change his tune if he was beaten by Jalen. But I also, if you've had the type of success that Nick Saban's had in your career and you're looking around at things, you kind of have to start thinking, okay, is there more to all this stuff that we're doing? And can I take a little bit of celebration in seeing somebody grow? And I think he can definitely feel like, look, I've had all the individual success I can get. But it feels good to see another player go out there and do something special.
So what part of Nick Saban that you've seen either dealing with the media or just on the sidelines or just anywhere else where you don't think that guy is just petty and he needed to say the right thing right then?
Honestly, it's the
his brain kicked in halfway through that quote.
It's the Mike Tyson, Nick Saban conversation that they had where he was saying, you know, the things it takes to be a champion. And then the discussions they were having with each other about bringing in people that have hit rock bottom, and then either risen or learned something from it, because he brings those guys in. I really do think he brings them in because he hopes that they can give lessons to his players and that he can send out better men than just football players. I think that's what he hopes. And I that's what I would hope if I was coaching, that I can accomplish multiple things. Don't you think that Coach K hopes that he sends out a better man?
Sure.
That came through his college program, because that's what you can tell the mom when you're recruiting him next round.
I also don't know if I think Coach K and Nick Saban are precisely the same, but I understand your point nonetheless. I wanted to give you a couple other college football things from the weekend. Not one single ranked team lost to an unranked team. So the only ranked team that lost was Oregon. And, well, to be determined if Notre Dame can get it together. They lost to Auburn in the last 10 seconds of a game they hadn't trailed at all. And they gave up 24 straight points, I think, to close the game. So Auburn beat Oregon 27-21. Oregon, the only ranked team to lose. And then, Colby, I know you heard the first part of this because we talked about it during a roundtable at the cornhole tournament on Saturday. Somebody made a parlay bet where they bet $100 for Georgia State to beat Tennessee, mm-hmm. which happened, and New Mexico State to beat Washington State. They bet $100. If they hit, they would win $46,000.
What an awesome bet.
Well, Georgia State won, and then New Mexico State played Washington State. New Mexico State, massive favorite. Hanging in there in the first quarter. They only trail 14-7. Final score, New Mexico State 7, Washington State 58.
Oh.
So the game kind of got away from them there, and that guy does not win his parlay, and instead he just loses $100. And then the closest, I think a ranked team probably came to losing to an unranked team. You'd have to say Iowa State, who needed triple overtime to defeat Northern Iowa.
Jack Trice Stadium.
Yes. I don't know if that is the entire reason.
Come on, man. That was a ranked team and Jack Trice having trouble with the team that they should have no trouble with. That's Jack Trice Stadium.
Team, by the way, a line of interest, and I know we'll talk about this more, Texas A&M, 17.5-point underdog to Clemson. But the big moving line, holy smokes, and I don't know if this was because of what happened over the weekend or what. Louisiana State University, LSU, is now a 5.5-point favorite over Texas.
Oh, wow.
They opened as a 4-point favorite. That closed all the way down to even a couple weeks ago. It is now back up to 5.5. That means a ton of money is coming in on LSU. But the score I most want to tell you about is the Maryland against Howard game. And I know you might be thinking,
Howard,
I don't care about that game. Well, Maryland won 79-0. Here's why that's particularly noteworthy. Jordan McNair, the offensive lineman who died last year, wore 79.
Wow.
Man. Plus, it was all of Maryland versus one guy.
That is true. It seems unfair, but you can see how the score.
But they, was that intentional on their part? Like, did they just say, okay, did they, like, kick an extra field goal?
No,
they
lay
up on an extra point.
Yes, it was intentional because they had an opportunity to kick a gimme field goal at the end of the game, and they just took a knee. Or not like at the very end, but late in the game, and they just took a knee. And
you score 79 points, and at that point you're going to take a knee?
Yeah, and well, one of the players said, I knew that I didn't want us to score again. And then the coach did go talk to the Howard coach and say, hey, sorry, we didn't mean any disrespect, but like when we got close, we knew that this is what was going to happen. And several of the players said, you know, never forget our brother, long live Jordan McNair. And like they were all well aware of it, like immediately after the game. So I just thought that was a pretty crazy story, is they matched the, and that's an unusual score.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Absolutely.
But they matched the jersey number for the player a little more than a year after the fact.
Isn't that odd, though? As an organization, like this is the program that through negligence,
what
caused his death. So it feels odd that it's like, hey, we're gonna memorialize you.
Not
in
those
this way.
Not those players, though.
Yeah, but I mean the coaches.
Oh no, sure. Although my buddy Bill just texted me, and he's a Texas fan, and he said, "Don't forget though, Maryland is unstoppable in week one." Because remember, oh, have you seen the saddest thing in all of college football? I'm sorry, Colby. I know this is your team, but you need to acknowledge this is sad. Is Texas is now selling 1-0 shirts? Because it's the first time in the Tom Herman era they started 1-0. Like,
oh,
that
man.
Is objectively depressing.
I don't even want to know.
I do. Also want to point this out, gentlemen. In one of the biggest games this station has wanted to pay attention to in a while.
Yeah.
North Texas defeated ACU 51-31, 51 plus 31, 82. Jason Witten's back this year. All right, guys.
Ooh, but bad news for KT, right? Because I heard he gave up 22 points-ish.
Oh, no!
And you know what makes it really bad? North Texas was up in that game 31-0.
And they let off the gas pedal.
You had to. He had to have thought, I got this bet in the bag.
Man.
And then,
sorry,
not
KT.
So much.
That's why I always just bet to win.